Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali A. Alomi, your classic nerd.
And I'm V. Tran, I'm your comic book nerd.
All right, guys. What's been going on in the world?
I don't know. V just came back from the swamp.
Yes, you did. How was your first trip to D.C.?
Well, it wasn't my first trip. I went when we were in eighth grade.
Well, you didn't you?
Yeah. I remember that. And it was just as bad as I remembered being.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with D.C.
Actually, I love the city.
But I hate it.
It's humid and it's gross.
D.C. has the worst weather, regardless of what season you're in.
I figured that. It's just that area in general, mm-hmm. like that southeast, yeah. I guess. It's all too humid and moisture.
What was the swamp that they've drained?
You weren't too far from the White House, right?
No, I was real close by.
Yeah,
I was actually just outside of like DuPont Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was around there, which is really cool because pride flags.
Yeah, everywhere.
Flying all over the place, right?
Yeah, DuPont's a very accepting
Foggy
area.
Foggy Bottom, DuPont.
Yeah. It's all a nice area. So those areas are really nice. And also I saw a lot of posters for the science march and all that other stuff too, which is really great. Mm-hmm. A lot of the churches out there. There was a church that had these beautiful colored doors and a rainbow. It says God accepts everybody. Mm-hmm. Little things like that. Right. There was another church that I had saw had a lot of Black Lives Matters things
kind of up there. Pretty active.
Yeah.
Right. Let's not forget. When we went to D.C., for example, almost every restaurant had a refugees welcome. Mm-hmm. This restaurant.
You would hope that they would be, right?
It was being operated by immigrants, Muslims, gay people, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We went to DuPont Circle when we were walking around.
Yeah.
Because we were with Omar and stuff, and that's where
that particular area is always a little bit active.
Yeah.
Even if the city itself kind of sucks. You also tried out Shake Shack. Thoughts?
I did try Shake Shack. I enjoyed it. It's expensive.
Is it? Did you get the secret menu?
No, I didn't even know there was one.
There's a secret menu. There's
In-N-Out has a secret.
Yeah.
They put peanut butter and stuff on your burger.
Okay, well, what the fuck would I want that?
I don't know. You're trying weird food.
Anyway.
This is a man who has gourmet meals, and you just told him, the secret menu is something a five-year-old does. Put peanut butter on my burger.
I don't know, man. I don't eat that shit.
It's weird.
I'm allergic to it, but still.
I will say, I really do, and I enjoyed it very much. The meat is more dense.
Is it as good as In-N-Out?
See, I have a tough time. I'm gonna write. I'm actually planning on writing a blog post comparing In-N-Out to Shake Shack.
What about Five Guys?
Five Guys doesn't even.
You're a piece of shit. Five Guys is better than all of them.
Five Guys doesn't register. You get impressed because they you could put every single goddamn ingredient that you want on there. You want spider eggs, mushrooms, whatever the fuck you want, they'll put it on there. That's the only thing impressive about Five Guys.
Can I just tell you that I'll say it right. The only reason people are impressed by Five Guys is it's they put the fries in a bag, it's got some spices on it.
That's true. I have a friend that works at Five Guys, right?
First off,
they've got such amazing fries.
You know what?
You're gonna try the fries. It's just fries with Cajun spices.
They put it in a bag.
They put it in a bag.
People are impressed with In-N-Out because it's a California only thing.
I'm not particularly impressed with In-N-Out. I don't think In-N-Out's the greatest burger place ever. I think a lot of these places are so overhyped that
the meat with Five Guys tastes better.
I think In-N-Out is good.
I'm not so sure about that.
In-N-Out is actually the cheapest of those three, I believe. Yeah, it is the cheapest.
But their patties are thinner.
But
the In-N-Out meat quality is actually nationally recognized as
Five Guys is ranked the number one fast food burger spot.
It's not about ranking the fast foods.
It's easy to do that when In-N-Out's only in California too.
It makes no difference to me.
Yeah,
I'm talking about actual meat quality, like them going out and picking the cows. In-N-Out is nationally recognized for going above and beyond and making sure that the quality of their meat is really good. I don't particularly think In-N-Out is this godly amazing place that you're like, oh my god, it's Shangri-La of burgers. It's not. It's overrated. It is. I'm gonna say it. All the California people are gonna now come and kill me and have a mob outside my house because I said In-N-Out is overrated.
They are known for having
the best quality meat of all the fast food places.
I will tell you this: In-N-Out is definitely lighter, right? Yeah. It's not nearly as dense as Shake Shack is.
Mm-hmm.
Shake Shack, I actually like their meat patties more than In-N-Out's. A little bit thicker, they're a bit more rich. The Shack sauce, I don't think is as good as In-N-Out's spread. And then the buns are a lot more rich. But they do this thing, which I think is great, is rather than slicing the bun all the way through, mm-hmm. they keep the back of the bun in Shake Shack closed. So it makes like a pocket, right? So it seeps up all the meat juices and stuff.
Smart. So that way it doesn't fucking spill out and shit.
Exactly. It's genius.
Yeah.
I sat there, I was going, this is marvelous. Although it cost me twice as much to eat there than it would at In-N-Out.
How much was it? Like $15 for burger, like, fries and
a double Shack burger is $9. A double at In-N-Out
just makes it the price of Carl's
is like five something.
Yeah, because Carl's is about that expensive. Carl's Jr.
Carl's dead. It did really expensive.
Yeah,
can be.
But and you know, with fries and a drink, it ended up being like $14 for me.
Yeah. Oh geez.
That's a lot. Like it was pretty pricey. But I enjoyed.
It's overrated.
Yeah, you know, it was a good burger.
I've had Shake Shack before. It's overrated.
I haven't had Shake Shack.
It's good. It's not bad.
As far as like chain burger places go, you know, they're good. But you know, if anyone's Orange County, they want to try my favorite burger place. It's in San Clemente. It's called the Writers Club.
Right, check it out.
In San Clemente, it's next to the art supply store in San Clemente. Yeah. But it's only open for lunch. It's literally a shack.
Have I told you my favorite burger spot in Orange County?
I don't care about your favorite burger spot.
It's great, bro. Try it. It's called Mixed Karma Bar.
You just said the Five Guys was better than everything in the world.
Five Guys is a fucking chain burger place.
And you brought me fucking peanut butter secret menu shit.
I did. I just told you that's in their secret menu. I've never had Shake Shack. Try Mix, you fucking cunt, and see how you like it. Actually, you know what? Don't try Mix because fuck you. I don't want it ruined with your fucking kind going over there. You food bloggers.
Jeez,
I would trust V over you when it comes to food. I'm so sorry.
That's because he could eat pork, bro. It's not fair.
Okay, don't pull the Muslim card over pork. Okay, crazy. Shut up. It's because he has a refined palate. He's eaten a lot of different types of food.
I've eaten different types of food too.
Yeah, you're allergic to everything.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
You're firstly allergic to everything. Like literally, water would kill you. Right?
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Second of all, like if I put a peanut in that water bottle, you'd die.
Well, okay. Well, that's not an uncommon allergy.
I'm just gonna point out that of all like the superhero weaknesses, yours is almost as bad as Green Lantern's wood allergy. Okay. I'm just going to put that out there.
Wait, that's worse. That's being allergic to wood?
Just going
to
put it out there that the superhero that is known as Dysyphilis is going to literally be taken out by a peanut.
Dysyphilis.
Syphilis, first of all.
No, that's your supervillain name.
I wanted to give you a first and a last name, like an actual. Syphilis is the disease.
Yeah.
Dysyphilis is the name of you as a superhero.
That's your supervillain name, Dysyphilis.
So, Dysyphilis is taken out by peanut. I'm just going to put that out there. Second of all, you just...
Common allergy.
You just shovel shit into your mouth. I've seen you eat. It's not a pleasant experience.
I don't you eat like a duck. I've never seen you chew. I don't think you have a gag reflex.
You guys are liars. You're all liars.
I caught that. It took me a second, but I caught it. It took me a second.
You're both liars and heathens and charlatans.
I did caught it, though. It took me a minute. It took me a second. It was good. Because when you had duck, that's going. That's very good. You were also, but like I went to Five Guys. You took us to both. I think we all went to Five Guys when we came back.
Oh, yeah,
you picked some from Northern airport. California. Yeah, we were at Sonoma County or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
We were in Wine County having, like, actual good food.
That's true.
And we came back, and we're like, we're going to watch Avengers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was Avengers.
And we're going to go get Five Guys, because you were so like, oh, Five Guys.
Well, because it was the first one, pants. Like, here in Southern California.
So we had it, and it wasn't bad. I'll give you that. It's not bad in any way, shape, or form.
It's fine.
It is a bit greasy for me.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's a bit greasy.
They fry all their stuff in peanut oil.
Yeah.
But they don't.
But it's
just their fries.
It was pretty overrated.
What else do they need to fry there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's no like breaded chicken sandwich there. It's burgers. Now,
speaking of chicken, you also had
Nando's. I did have
this
Nando's.
This is your first Nando's?
No, I had it in London years ago.
Okay, you haven't had it in a while then.
No, but it's like this Afro Portuguese peri peri spice.
Yeah.
Food. I really liked it.
It's as good as London's. It's a little different.
I enjoyed it. I had the thigh high sandwich.
Hmm.
Which is a Portuguese roll with medium spiced peri peri chicken thighs.
No one really goes in there for the food. It's the sauce.
Sauce is good.
Sauce is good. But I mean, everything. But the
it's quality, pretty basic.
Quality wise, you can tell that, you know, it's definitely it's got really good standards.
What sides did you get?
I didn't actually. I just had the sandwich.
Oh, I see you're missing out. Up, bro.
The sides are
the
shit.
Yeah, he's right there. It's the sides is the key there.
Yeah. Well, here the problem is though.
Mashed potatoes are really freaking good. The rice is amazing.
I would have totally had sides, but I had just had sushi an hour before that.
What is wrong with
you? So,
And I just shove things down my mouth.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna take that back. The gourmet food thing, I take it back from you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't shove it down my mouth. I eat it with precision.
The fact that you had sushi an hour early and then decided that you're gonna get Nando's, you're just shoveling shit at that
point. It's not like I wasn't eating a whole California roll like that was uncut or anything. I was literally just, I had a couple pieces of fish and some pokey. And I was like, okay, well, because I was planning on eating Nando's anyway.
Yeah, the Nando's signs is where you missed out on,
though. It's fine. You know, the corn on the cob looks so good. I was planning on ordering that. I was like, well, I better.
Corn on the cob type person.
I like, I don't, yeah.
It comes out the same way it goes in.
Yeah.
No. Not abreast.
I like it. I don't know. I like corn on the cob because it just.
There's no real corn left anymore either.
Isn't there?
No, they're all it's genetically modified.
That's true, because it's all in the husks.
When was it? 1999 was the last corn thing?
Oh, I have no idea.
It was within our lifetimes, though. Yeah. It was.
But if you go down to Peru, there's 17 different types of corn.
This is like something that we haven't actually discussed on the podcast, but it might be interesting to talk about maybe next week or something.
GMOs?
Not just GMOs, but the species, a food species being wiped out. So like when in the United States, right, there used to be, I think it was 20 types of tomatoes in 17 whatever, right? So now we only have, I think, 8. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Ooh, I'm not sure.
Right? So like species variation has been disappearing over the years.
We've just been shoveling shit down our throats.
Well, that's happened is like we're only having one or two species, or one or two, types of food left. Tomatoes, lettuce, etc. Usually there's a wide variety. Those varieties are disappearing. So that within our lifetimes, we're going to end up in places. And that has an impact on cuisine. That has an impact on the types of food that we're going to eat. There's this weird, like, food is coming down this funnel, right? And then all that's going to be left is a small amount. There's people that are doing, like, massive amounts of seed storage right now, just trying to preserve and save.
Yeah, that makes
species
sense.
That are just disappearing and like rapidly. This is like an interesting discussion.
Because when you think about the way that the farmers work, is that they're going to naturally grow things that are naturally resistant to pests and stuff like that. They're also going to grow things that provide the most profit per growth for acreage in their farms. Mm-hmm. Also, whatever they get for subsidies and etc. So naturally, they're going to grow a certain type of something and not bother with the cost of dealing with something that they can't guarantee to sell. Mm-hmm. You see that with heirloom tomatoes. You know, they're all kind of odd shapes, and they're all these strains that technically, a lot of people were at one point considered to be kind of extinct, but now it's like the heirloom tomatoes have gotten real popular.
Yeah.
You know, they're not very, they look really ugly and they're kind of odd shaped, but they have these really great vibrant colors on them, but they need very specific growing conditions in order for them to kind of come out. That's why they're so much more expensive than regular tomatoes are. Another thing I learned in Washington, D.C. was I met a furry, right? And I learned a little thing or two about otherkin and otherkin culture.
Oh, yes, the otherkin.
What does this mean?
The otherkin, so like...
No, wunderkin?
No.
An other?
Otherkin.
Oh, but one word. Kin as in K-I-N.
Not like a wunderkin.
Otherkin, like you are from an other kin.
I don't get it.
Kin, you know what kin means? Like family, species, etc.
Oh.
Otherkin mean from another family.
Okay. Well, that's what I took it as, but I was like, okay, well, it's just another family.
No.
It's supposed to be banging people from other families. It refers
to people who feel that they are different than the way that they are born.
So they're trans species?
Trans species, trans, all sorts of stuff.
Oh. Is that offensive to say?
Not transgender. They're now using... The interesting thing about this is, like, V can tell us a little bit about his exploration, but contemporaneously, they're using the language of transgender and transsexuality they're co-opting that language to talk about what they experience.
So that's not a good thing.
So transgender is a different experience, but they're using the language of trans. Like, they didn't used to say trans species ever.
Yeah.
Never. It was otherkin.
Now they're using that word.
So what's crazy about it is that there is, obviously, with things like the internet and communities that have formed around it, right? Now, otherkin are people who will identify with things that are other than human. Yeah. Not always identify, but also actually truly believe that, you know, spiritually, religiously, genetically, or whatever, that they are connected with, you know, anything from dragons to foxes to ravens or whatever else.
They believe that their souls are different than what their bodies are.
Yeah.
So, like, I've with other kin, for example, they'll talk about having phantom limb syndrome, right? It's like, you know how, like, if you lose a limb, phantom limb is like you still feel it.
Yeah.
They feel it, but for a limb that never existed, like a wing or a tail.
So I read a little bit about this, and they were talking about how, you know, this guy who identified as a fox would talk about how he would somehow be able to, like, he'd be awake and he would feel like his tail or like his paws. Huh. And he'd have dreams about being a fox. So he kind of identifies as a fox. So
he's a fox otherkin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we see this, like, I went down the Tumblr rabbit hole a little bit.
You done goofed.
When I talked to this furry guy, and furries are different, mind you. Furries are anthropomorphic animals, this other thing. We can explore that later, but, you know.
Furry is a sexual fetish. Other kin does not necessarily, is not necessarily
one. So, but the thing is, though, there are certain identifiers that, you know, that kind of connect the two sometimes, and it just so happens that we talked about other kins. Which I thought was interesting, because it actually started in the 90s. It came around because of there was a newsletter, I think, at the University of Kentucky. It was about elfkin, about people talking about being elves, mm-hmm. right? And it still goes on today. It's not like to them or even like the bylines of the websites talking about how it wasn't even like they're not role playing elves, that they are in fact elfkin.
And that's a very key. Let's pause right there. Not role playing, right? Okay. That's a very good description. They're not role playing. They believe that they are. And 1990s mm-hmm. also is when they started to go online. So the old Usenet in the late 90s, early 2000s uh-huh. is where there was a lot of the home of the other kin.
Like the alts.fa dragons or whatever it was.
And then eventually like forums. They became big on forums.
Yeah. And then naturally they found their way into places like Tumblr and LiveJournal and apparently this other site called TV Tropes that I'd never heard of before.
Did you look this up?
Yeah. So it was like another kind of social thing. And it's weird because if you look at it now, like if you follow kind of the hashtags throughout Tumblr, mm-hmm. a lot of times you'll see these hashtags otherkin, but it's more people trolling otherkin than actual people identifying as otherkin, which I think is a little bit sad and messed up.
They've also become memes, right? So a lot of people have made them into memes, them and furries.
Yeah,
there are a lot of memes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I mean, people, for a lot of people, we've seen that most of these people who really truly identify the other kin, they're kind of young, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times they have social anxiety issues or something. Or like,
a lot of them connect to the otaku culture that V also talked
about.
Exactly,
right?
A few podcasts back when we talked about anime, mm-hmm. a lot of them come out of either Japanese teen culture, rebellion culture, or white kids who are connected to the anime otaku subculture.
Yeah. Speaking of which, happy birthday, Chris Kingston.
Oh, is his birthday?
It's his birthday today as we're recording, so when he listens to it, it'll be a couple of days.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chris. Salaam alaikum.
Good man.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Anyway, so this is what I find kind of interesting, though. It's like we found that there's like a lot. There was a troll site where these three guys had created a Tumblr, and they claimed to be this someone who claimed to be a 19-year-old cat.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so well done that it actually fooled people mm-hmm. into thinking that they were actually otherkin. And mm-hmm. what was crazy is that despite all the trolling, otherkin in the community actually came up and defended them, which makes it problematic because a lot of the times there's really no boundary in identification, right? So mm-hmm. it's easy for people who are just subtle enough to troll mm-hmm. to be able to access this community and kind of get the defense of actual otherkin when in actuality they're really disrespecting it with the things that they do, right?
It's like, a vulnerable community that's easily co-opted. Let's dig a little deeper real briefly about otherkin and, mm-hmm. and discuss where it comes from. Some of the psychological studies that have been done on otherkin tie it to social teen angst and anxiety in particular. People who feel quite uncomfortable acting out in society, in social situations, and so feel like acting out like a wolf or a cat or a dog is more comfortable for them.
So they have trouble being like quote unquote normal?
They have trouble being quote unquote normal, whatever normal means.
Yeah.
And so you'll see, so for some other kin, it's very maladaptive in the sense that, or atypical, you'll find that in social settings they'll bark, they'll nibble or whatnot. For example, young kids young teens that bite, right? They're like, oh, I'm nipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Versus some who act quite normal, whatever that means again, or mm-hmm. who seem well-adjusted into society, but who still identify as otherkin. Oh, I'm secretly a dragon. Oh, I'm secretly a wolf. And it can also involve hybrids, right? So I'm a cat with chicken wings or something. Yeah, right? Yeah. Or eagle wings. Mm-hmm. I think would be more apt than chicken wings. Right? Well, so there's combinations there. But it's tied mostly through a process of socializing because they can then associate with a community who also identifies in that way.
Right? It also varies in its own ways too, because there are people who I was reading, I think, Vice about it, and you know, they were interviewing some people, and some people were like, I don't believe that genetically I'm any of these things, but I identify with the personality traits of, say, like a lion or whatever else. But there are people who physically believe that, you know, that they are connected with the animal more so than just identifying with the traits of that animal.
It's also quite difficult to talk about this topic because there's so little known about it or information discussed about it. A lot of it's buried down under memes, and it's a subculture within a subculture.
Yeah.
And so to really get at it, a lot of what we're discussing here is either superficial or can be some other kin would disagree with it. Like, oh, that's not accurate. And that's simply because, one, it's a pretty loosely defined community.
Yeah.
Right? It's other kin means different things to different people
within
the community itself. For example, for some other kin, you're not associating with elves. You're not associating with dragons. It's an animal thing. Right? And for others, it's not has nothing to do with animals. It is there is a fantasy quality to it, and for some people, it has nothing to do with the soul. That, oh, my soul is one animal, my body is human. It's a type of reincarnation thing, right? So there's all sorts of different definitions to other kin, and it's complicated to discuss. And because it is somewhat subterranean, getting information about it is pretty rare.
It's true.
I mean, Vice is like one of the few articles that's done it. I think the other group that's done it is BuzzFeed once did a other kin bit.
Yeah, and you know, and even then, like, you can't really. It's, I think, because the human experience is so varied. There was they had talked to a psychologist about it, and they were like, he's like, you know, the human experience is so varied and it's so different between people. That it's really hard to define. And he goes, and when you take that human experience and then you distill it down to maybe a handful of quote-unquote normal traits via our media, right, it's really hard to be able to identify with everything that you see in quote-unquote normal society.
We're conditioned to be normal.
It's natural.
I mean, here's the thing. Even the term normal isn't a state of being, but rather technically a spectrum of behaviors.
Yeah.
Right? Can you hold down a job?
Can you?
And even then, a lot of what we consider normal may not be normal, right? A lot of things that we may consider maladaptive, for example, not being able to hold down a job is in some instances considered abnormal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not being able to engage in social conversation, social congress is considered abnormal. So because it's
being
a spectrum,
monogamous, not being able to be monogamous.
This is even more complicated. Normalcy is complicated. Yeah. And then normalcy is also regulatory. We regulate what is considered normal or not. And things change over time. Remember, certain sexual practices were considered abnormal until recently.
Like the oral sex?
Yeah, for example, oral sex, any form of sodomy, oral sex, anal sex, was considered abnormal up until really 50 years ago.
Yeah,
and even 50 years ago, it was kind of taboo.
Tupac went to jail for putting it in a girl's butt.
A person who performed what was considered sodomy, oral sex or anal sex, was considered, outside the norm. Right? We know that this shit happened.
Yeah.
We have fucking medieval manuscripts showing oral sex and anal sex, right?
Yeah.
So we know it happened, but it was not considered. So normalcy is regulatory. So we got to be careful when we talk about that.
That's true.
That said, other kin tends to be pretty far off.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the
pretty
spectrum.
A lot of it's fringe,
and
right?
So as a result, there's very little focus on it.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
But V, would you say that, because this has been my experience, is like when you were researching the more contemporaneous and like Tumblr, were they using the language of trans and transgenderism in describing their own other kids?
Okay, so this is, I think there is a given trans rights have become kind of a hot button issue within our modern society. They have kind of adopted the social,
right,
you know, kind of the social struggles of people in the trans community. What's crazy is that a lot of other kin also happen to be transgender,
yeah,
right? Which is kind of weird.
There's
because
an intersection
for some people, right? They're like, we can't there's a kind of a fear of mixing the two things, right? Because if you have a body dysmorphia in the sense that you feel like that you are a woman, right? But you somehow ended up in a man's body.
Yeah.
Right? And then like they don't, and then somehow they're able to kind of connect that with the fact that you are that you somehow ended up in a human's body, but you are identified as something else, right?
That's
something
that's, we should parse that real quickly. Body dysmorphia is not the same as transgenderism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Transgenderism is a social situation, right? In which we're constructing gender in a very deliberate social way.
Uh-huh.
A person who does not feel that they perform in a particular gender. Right? Because gender is performative.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so they can undertake either through hormonal treatment or medical procedures to adopt the gender that they feel comfortable performing in.
Yes.
Body dysmorphia covers a range of body perception issues.
Uh-huh.
So not uniquely tied in any way, shape, or form tied to transgender, because we want to be careful that transgenders are not a mental disorder.
Yeah, see,
body dysmorphia can also include things like weight, right? Uh-huh. See, for example, the most common form of body dysmorphia, and please correct me if I'm wrong, right, is women who look into the mirror and see themselves as heavier than they actually are.
Yeah.
Right? So a woman who is 90 pounds looks in and goes, I am fat. Not because she's seeking attention or she's just got a bad act, but genuinely actually that is a form of body
dysmorphia. Yeah, I've had friends with
that ties into, for example, eating disorders. It's
I misspoke using the term dysmorphia because I didn't want to connect it with.
Yes, and you're right.
Because so like
transgenderism and other kin are different, but their other kin is co-opting the language of. So you're absolutely right in that regard.
So this is what's crazy is that a lot of people go, we can't. They feel like. Almost as if kind of fighting for trans rights, the pool gets diluted because when you bring in something that's so considered by them to be quote unquote outlandish, it's hard for the power, you know, for anyone who for people who are already naturally kind of against transgender people.
Well, it's a hard really concept to understand.
Well, we see this also with the idea of white people who are pretending to be black, right?
Yeah.
How they're now claiming
Trans-ethnic.
Right. So they're adopting the language of transgender, and that makes the struggle for transgender equality for transgender people even harder, right? Because you have one issue that's already being demonized and focused on and dismissed. Oh, you're not female, you're not male, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have someone come in and go, well, I feel like they do, but...
Yeah.
It's in regards to race, but it's in regards to species.
Yeah, so yeah, there's this whole thing, it's called trans-able, which means that like your personal abilities, right, connected with that. It's also there's actually something called trans fat, which has to do with girth. Like they've actually co-opted this concept.
Well, because trans fat's a real thing. It's in foods.
I know. It's like the government said you got to take it out.
They hated it in the 90s and early 2000s. Remember?
Yeah. Too much trans fat.
No trans fat in this cookie.
Yeah. You know, so that was, I mean, that's another term that's being used within the community now, too.
Other kin is a complicated, on the fringe kind of concept that we, that people are still trying to wrap their
heads around. Sounds complicated as fuck.
But we don't want it to be confused in any way, shape, or form with transgenderism, though people are trying to co-opt the language of transgenderism. And this is something that we're going to, you know, watch this space. It's fascinating how the language of activism is adopted for a variety of different things that may not necessarily be tied to things like social justice, right? Getting equal rights for transgender individuals is not necessarily the same as the recognition of other kin, which may be a completely different psychological, social, performative experience, right? So we'll talk further about this. I think this is an interesting segment. Maybe we can have a recurring V explores the internet.
He is an anthropologist.
He is a amateur anthropologist, so we'll have him. We'll do hashtag V explores the internet.
Yeah,
is his thing where he goes into Reddit.
Clown porn next.
We go into
Tumblr ethnographies.
Goes to Tumblr, goes to Reddit, and explores further. Let's also talk a little bit about nerd news. We'll call this our nerd news section, right? Hashtag currently nerdy news. Han Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, man. People dropping like flies.
Yeah. What's going on there?
You know, they're getting shot out like Greedo. So like Phil Miller and or Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the directors. Phil Lord did 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
Chris Miller did the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And you know, they apparently, it was according to you know, like their press releases, they were talking about how it was, you know, it was they loved everyone, everyone's great, but it was just like a difference in opinion. And then as things begin to come out now, they're talking about maybe it wasn't nearly as mutual as they thought it was. Where they're talking about how the president of Lucasfilms, Kathleen Kennedy, would really, you know, has a very kind of structured way of creating these movies. And Phil Lord and Chris Miller have a very kind of, have a very different style in terms of interaction between cast, you know, post-production type stuff, or even the way that they run their filming and everything else. And so it ended up kind of being an itch in President Kennedy's, Lucasfilm President Kennedy's ass a little bit, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Han Solo, and it's supposed to be an anthology, right? Is that is already, has already stirred up some issues with fans already before this current news. The casting of Alden for Han Solo was a bit of an issue for some people, because Alden, while certainly a charming young man, is not Han Solo. He's very, his charm is quiet charm.
They got Donald Glover in the movie.
Right, Donald Glover is great, yeah, but the idea of him playing Han Solo, it's hard for a lot of people, right? Because people know him from other movies where he's played, and he kind of plays, he's much better as a sort of southern, shy, southern, quiet boy than he is as roguish, charming scoundrel.
But he's never played
Alden
a role like
that. Ehrenreich.
Yeah, so Alden has a tendency to play, he was in Beautiful Creatures, he was in
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. He tends to play these kind of shy, quiet, charming but likable characters.
Like Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, he has a lot of qualities, a lot like Eddie Redmayne, except that Eddie Redmayne has a lot of range too. So Eddie Redmayne can play villains, for example, right? But most of the time, Eddie Redmayne also plays those kind of charming, shy, quiet types.
Yeah. Right?
And Alden is like that. Whereas Han Solo is roguish and a scoundrel, and he's a much more abrasive,
assertive
charisma.
He's a space pirate.
So it's hard to see him in that, and people were kind of confused by that casting of him. So the director's dropping out is just kind of an ongoing, you know, hit after hit against the Han Solo.
But they're like, I mean, they've done great movies in the past. The Lego Movie was dope. 21 Jump Street, 22
Jump
Street.
Yeah, that's great, but they're not in, they're not doing it anymore, so.
I know, which sucks, because, like, I like the way they direct movies.
Great, those directors are fantastic. They're not part of this production.
That sucks, because they would have done a good job.
I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's still slated to be released in 2018, though.
Yeah.
Even though they're losing a director this late into the game, so. This is going to be, it'll be tricky. They can pull it off, but again, I'm not so sure about this series.
Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich guy does look like he could be a, like his face. He has the features for it. I think.
Yeah, he does have the features. Like, I don't know if he has the person.
Who knows? Yeah, I think that's it'd be a good test of his acting ability to see if he can actually take on those Harrison Ford qualities.
Yeah, we'll see. We could be wrong. I mean,
we're wrong about everybody.
About Batman, right? And fucking
or Joker.
Yeah, but
or Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger's Joker, we didn't have an opinion on, but most people did.
Yeah,
most people thought he couldn't pull it off. Right, same thing. Most people didn't think Ben Affleck could pull off Bruce Wayne and Batman, but he did. He did a pretty good job.
Check the tape. I said give him a chance.
In fact, I'm pretty sure Ben Affleck was the only redeeming quality of Batman v Superman.
You just said it was Gal Gadot.
Yeah, like, no, Wonder Woman.
Oh, was, did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Wonder Woman was a saving.
She was a saving grace, but Batman was really good.
Yeah. I said
Ben Affleck.
I feel like, before we go on with that, I feel like, did they make Themyscira is the island in Wonder Woman, I think, right? Yeah, did they have all the other actresses on that island have an accent so it would fit Gal Gadot's accent?
I don't know.
I feel like that's what they did.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that they cast have accents, though. There's
Robin Wright does not have an accent. She played Jenna.
She's the exception to that. Whereas her mom does have an accent. She has a slight German accent or European accent of some sort. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was French. Who knows? Some shit like that.
Whatever, man.
Yeah. So that's it for nerd news. Han Solo, Roadblock, fuck. We'll try to bring you nerd news every week.
Thanks.
You know that
make it an official segment.
You know what reminds me of is like when Hans like when they hijack the ship,
yeah,
and they're like they're trying to call, or is it the ship or is it the computer? But they're talking to the stormtrooper on the other
yeah.
side.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how you doing? It's like we're doing fine. How are you? Right. Yeah. It's like one of those like that moment. The... Yeah, exactly. Like it reminds
we're
me.
We're about to get company.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so like that's a particularly big moment. So let's talk in real news. So now we've had nerd news.
Yep.
Let's discuss the real news that's out there.
Shit.
Shit's gone. Yeah.
God damn it, man.
So we had a series of violent acts. You have you had Kinsbury Park.
Yeah.
Kinsbury Park with where this disgruntled white dude got in a van and ran over a bunch of Muslims
He got kicked out of a pub 3 days earlier
yeah.
for cursing out Muslims, and then he said he was going to do some damage to them.
Yeah, so he ran them over, and one person was killed, several people were injured. Great Britain's police force and government stepped up real quick, called it an act of terror and whatnot. But since then, the media has been pretty bad at handling it. CNN practically, and I mean, it was a weird moment, because when you're watching CNN New Day with Chris Cuomo and mm-hmm. and Allison Camerata or some shit like that,
uh-huh.
they literally called it a traffic incident.
What?
In which the vehicle collided with pedestrians.
The motherfucker mm-hmm. ran yeah. people down.
Hold on. But if you turned over to CNN International,
uh-huh.
they called it a deliberate attack. Right, so it was like it was really bizarre, but British media was not quick to jump on the bandwagon. If you saw, for example, the coverage of the London attacks,
mm-hmm.
very clear what happened.
Yeah.
But if you watch like Daily Mail or any of the other Guardian, Independent, they covered it as a vehicle collided with, as if the vehicle itself had some form of agency. Right, that there's no one behind the wheel.
I've yeah. seen cars, one, two, and three, bro.
Then the worst was that the Sun covered it with clean-shaven man.
What?
That's a good way of letting people know it wasn't a Muslim who did it, right?
Clean-shaven?
Yes. Clean-shaven man, father of four. That's what they called him. Then recently they just put out a photo of him rather than show... Because then usually they show the incident, right? It's like when mm-hmm. the London attack happened, it's called... They said Westminster under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed bodies and cops, right? It was a very scary war zone image. And for this case, they showed the dude being carried, like the dude being arrested, and he's giving a finger, not the middle finger, just like a what's up. And it says, jobless lone wolf.
God damn it.
It's pedestrian. So it was one of those moments where you just kind of went, this is beyond parody now. This isn't even satire. It's not even parody. When you could see the blatant, obvious bias in the way the media is covering
it. Like, people of color's lives don't matter.
They don't. And I think saw that now. We teased, obviously, the UK media in this regards. But we've had these problems here in the United States. Just as we're recording this, Philando Castile's the dash cam video of it was released.
That was disgusting.
And... This is right after he was already acquitted. We've already kind of went off on Twitter about him being acquitted, right? It was yet another case in a long stream of cases in which white officers shooting, or officers in general shooting, people of color getting away with it, right?
Right.
With no accountability, right?
No.
We're not assuming guilt right off the bat. What we're saying, there's literally no accountability.
Yeah.
Not guilty, right back onto the force. And the thing that was interesting is that they didn't release the dash cam footage until after. And that when usually they do that, that's a clear indication there's something shifty on that dash cam footage.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, it was deeply frustrating, because if you see that dash cam footage, it's hard to see how the jury came to the conclusion that it did.
Yeah.
Because literally, the cop walks up, starts small talk.
Yeah, we pulled you over because your
tail light,
yeah, your brake light on the right side and the left side work, but on the top it's kind of looks a little. Yeah.
And Philando Castile goes very clearly, I want to say up front that I am carrying
a firearm,
right? Instantly, the cop's hand goes to his gun, goes,
yeah,
don't reach for it. And you can hear Philando Castile say, I'm not reaching for it. You hear his girlfriend chime in. He's not reaching for it. even though they say that,
yeah,
twice, the cop instantly goes into fire mode. And he keeps yelling, don't reach for it. Fire, fire, fire. And he fires roughly 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, he just unloads on
him. Unloads. Yeah. And to the point where I'm like, I'm surprised that his girlfriend didn't get shot.
Yeah.
And as he's doing it, you see his little girl in the back.
Oh, God, it's the worst.
Come out of the car because she's frightened. She steps out and the other cop picks up the girl and steps away with her. It's like you could, the girl leaves the car because of the shooting. But she was in the car as the shooting happens. It's lucky that neither her nor her mother got shot. And you see that it took literally 2 seconds for it to escalate. Even though Philando Castile was a card-carrying, licensed...
Hey, you know who's been awfully quiet lately?
The NRA.
Wayne LaPierre.
Right? The NRA didn't step up about his rights in any way, shape, or form.
I know, Trevor Noah did a whole thing.
Trevor Noah did this whole thing. Like, they don't give a shit unless... You know, if they care, unless you're black, then they don't give a fuck.
The NRA is racialized, right? We've talked about this for a long time. The Second Amendment was racialized during the Civil Rights Movement. We have the pamphlets from pre-Civil Rights Movement in which the NRA was fundamentally a gun safety organization.
Yep.
How to store your guns, how to deal with guns. And during the Civil Rights Movement, it became protect the right to carry a gun because they're coming for you.
Yep, damn N-words. They're coming.
So it becomes a much more racialized organization post civil rights. We did a whole history on this here on the podcast.
I think I'm gonna get shot one day. Anytime I drive by a car that has like an NRA sticker on the back, I subtly flick them off as I'm passing them. Like I'll just go up there and just be like this as I'm driving by.
You are an idiot.
Because fuck them.
But it is quite frustrating to see the Philando Castile case be handled the way it was, and I think. For a lot of people, seeing that lack of justice just confirms for them or reaffirms for them that the system isn't meant to work for them.
No. And then, so Colin Kaepernick tweeted a photo of like an old like slave, like hunter badge and then the police officer's badge. And they're saying like, don't forget, you know, like there's history here. Like they act like they're going to protect you, but in reality, they don't care.
But here's the thing that I think people have a hard time understanding. Now, I tie this story into, not directly, right? Mm-hmm. But this is part of a broader conversation about prejudice that the United States needs to have a serious discussion on to what happened in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in Virginia, a young Muslim girl named Nabra was leaving with a group of friends, was leaving an IHOP or a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. She had just finished Qiyam. Or Taraweeh prayers, which is during the month of Ramadan, mm-hmm. Muslims spend their days fasting, and then their nights in prayer. They often go to the mosque, they pray in groups. So it's an intense spiritual month. Lack of sleep and lack of food,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for a lot of Muslims, they have a pre-dawn meal known as suhoor, or Afghans call it sari.
Or pashlami.
Yeah, but it's called suhoor, right? And you have a pre-dawn meal so that you can last throughout the day. Not everyone does it, right?
Yeah.
So people, they hit her and her friends that were just leaving this IHOP in order to have that pre-dawn meal.
Yeah.
When they came across this person, they had this car. Now, according to some instances, there was some form of altercation. According to the kids, this guy jumped out of his car with a baseball bat.
Yeah. Right?
And they scattered. The kids ran and tried to run back to the mosque, which was the Adams Mosque, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the Dulles area, which a lot of our friends
grew up in. I used to go to that mosque, dude.
Yeah, I've been in that mosque not in any time
recently. I haven't been in like 10 years, yeah.
But I've been in that area a lot. I know a lot of the people in that community.
In Sterling, yeah.
In Sterling. And so they all ran, and when they reached there, they realized that their friend Nabra hadn't made it back. So they called the cops. And there was a search put out for Nabra, and they couldn't find her. 24 hours later, they found her body.
No, it was like within 12 hours they found her body.
So within 24 hours, 12 to 24 hours, they found her body in a shallow pond nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been killed with a baseball bat. They didn't explain where they found the baseball bat, whether it was with the body nearby, whatever. They also caught the suspect within 24 hours of that. Like 48 hours total, they got this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he had been driving around suspiciously. So they caught him. Within a few hours, it was declared, we're not going to look into this as a hate crime. this is just a road rage incident.
Yeah, the guy confessed too.
Right. The guy confessed, right? So here's the thing, though. A lot of Muslims, including her own father, go, this was a hate crime. She was targeted because she was a Muslim. And a lot of people go, no, it's a road rage incident. They had some type of altercation. This takes me back to the Chapel Hill shootings, right?
Parking dispute.
Yeah, whereas Hicks killed these three Muslims execution style over a parking dispute, right? Now, people are raising the question, you don't beat someone bloody with a baseball bat over road rage. Road rage is flipping someone off, shouting, screaming, saying, fuck you. That's road rage, honking your horn, not beat someone with a baseball bat. Can it be both is the question that I think I want to raise for the podcast. And also for something that I think the community itself is struggling with. Is it or is it not? For me, I think in particular, and please disagree with me if you feel like it, I don't see them as mutually exclusive, right? This is where implicit bias plays a really important role. When you look at the Philando Castile case, right, and in the case of a lot of shootings by cops, not all cops are hood-wearing Klansmen.
Yeah.
There is a significant portion of cops that are indeed white supremacists.
Yep.
We know this. The FBI did a statistical study on this in which they found that there is a significant population of cops that are white supremacists or white supremacists who have infiltrated the cops. We know this because KKK actually had a memo on how they should now start infiltrating law enforcement, right? That's not me being a polemic and going, all cops are white supremacists. No, there is a significant portion. But not all cops are Klans members.
No.
But all cops live within a particular police culture in which they are told that suspects look a certain way, in which they're told that they will get shot at, in which they're told that certain neighborhoods of people of color are more dangerous. It's why even the good cops police white suburbs differently than they do black inner cities, whatever you want to call it, or black neighborhoods, or Mexican neighborhoods, or Latino neighborhoods, or whatever neighborhoods, right? That there is, even the good cops do that. And even good cops get nervous and anxious when they're talking to black people because they see black people as suspects.
As a threat.
So even if a cop is not a card-carrying Klans member,
they
are still influenced on an implicit, unconscious level. They may not even consciously articulate their prejudice and their bias.
Correct.
But they will still act on it, and that's the key there. Right.
When we have cases like Philando Castile.
We have cases like Philando Castile. Philando Castile's case is a little bit more complicated because the dude was wearing a Police Lives Matter bracelet.
Philando
Castile was?
No, the cop who shot him.
Yanez or whatever his name was.
Yanez was wearing a black...
Police Lives Matter.
Blue Lives Matter.
It was actually Police Lives Matter.
Okay.
It was black on his wrist. So that tells you something, right?
Yeah.
Not all of them are. This guy here... who killed Nabra, maybe it was a road rage incident that's made him snap. But here's my question to you. If Nabra was white and a woman, would he have attacked her? If she was white and a male, would she have attacked her? If Nabra's name was Mike, and he was blonde hair, blue-eyed, and 6 foot tall, would he have taken a baseball bat, kidnapped her, beat her, and then dump her in a pond? Yeah. That's the question.
Rape was involved. You read now that...
Well, this is not confirmed yet.
Yeah, they haven't.
We want to be very clear about that, so trigger warning to anyone.
Yeah.
Is that is not in any way, shape, or form confirmed. Only one person has mentioned it, and the Daily Beast has picked it up as a possibility.
Yeah.
No details of either the case nor the... her actual death have been confirmed by the police because they're still doing an autopsy.
Oh, wait. Oh yeah. So BuzzFeed just said it may also have been raped.
Okay. BuzzFeed picked it up from
Daily Beast.
Daily Beast. They're citing the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast is the only website that has said it was, but even them, they're saying maybe because there's technically we don't know anything about what's happened because they haven't released the autopsy. They haven't done any of that.
They haven't
yet.
Done a vaginal swab.
I think so. Obviously, the circumstances would be different, right? I mean, you postulate this question: if it was a white guy named Mike, would it be the same outcome? And you know, I would say no, in the sense that people who are of already kind of a targeted group also look like easy prey to someone who is looking for any type of predatory, you know, for violence or whatever else.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind that rage obviously does things to people emotionally that sometimes they don't control their actions, but there's always something in your mind that mulls over whether or not you would be able to get the advantage in the situation, right? Yeah, it's a survival instinct.
I think gender plays a massive role into this.
Absolutely.
The fact that she was a woman plays a huge role into this.
Yep.
The fact that she's a woman of color plays a huge role into this. The fact that she's a woman of color who's wearing a hijab. She's publicly a Muslim.
Yeah, visibly.
That visibly a Muslim plays a massive role here. You cannot disconnect his actions from the actions of the guy who stood up and harassed Muslim women on a Portland train only to stab two people.
Yeah.
Right? You can't disconnect them because there is a culture of demonization, discrimination, and targeting that has been happening constantly. When Muslims commit violence, we ask where they were radicalized. Right?
Yeah.
We ask that. Now, incorrectly, people point to religion, not the socialized factors.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ask where people were radicalized when the violence is targeted people of color.
Correct.
People of color don't apparently have that privilege.
No.
When they die, they are simply a result of accidents.
Yeah.
Black and brown bodies don't mean shit to these people.
When black people die, it was just a tragic accident. When brown people die, it was a tragic accident. It was road rage. It was a cop who felt threatened. It was a parking dispute. It was so-and-so felt uncomfortable. When white people die, there is a larger process afoot.
Correct.
Yeah. Black culture is culpable. Muslim religion is culpable. I'm not saying all of America is culpable for the death of Nabra or for the anti-Muslim bigotry that is going on, but I am saying that there is a deep culture that has produced demonization of people of color, and that we need to question that and how it plays a role in implicit biases, in articulated prejudices against people.
Yep.
The kind of guttural, primordial, instinctual, visceral reaction you get to someone, even though you don't consider yourself a bigot. It's you crossing the street at night because black people are coming at you. You don't think you're racist. You've never said a single racist thing in your life. You love black people. But in that moment, that visceral reaction of you crossing the street, that is a result of something, of a socialized
process. You locking your doors.
Or you locking your doors. These are socialized behaviors. To me, the actions of this guy, in the same way like the actions that we saw at the police, are socialized behaviors.
Correct.
That we need to recognize. In the same way that terrorists blowing themselves up is a socialized behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you mean you see this also. It actually reminded me. I was reading up on the Jeffrey Dahmer a little while ago, and they were talking about how, you know, because Dahmer, when he tried to make sex zombies, right? Pick up a lot of it was you think about kind of the social aspects during the kind of the 80s and everything about being gay. About kind of how it's considered kind of fringe, right? He would take young Filipino ethnic gay boys and he would murder them and he would make a shrine out of them or he would do whatever he did with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it came down to it, though, he lived in a black apartment building that literally his apartment stunk of dead bodies everywhere. It got to the point where they called the cops to investigate something. The cops actually went there. They said it smelled bad. They didn't bother investigating when Dahmer decided to open the door. It was this white guy, right?
He lived in like a black apartment.
Yeah,
like,
Okay. What's crazy is that he also there was one guy who actually had escaped. Mm-hmm. Dahmer actually had he was drugged up. He was all messed up and he was naked and he actually ran out of the apartment. He ran out into the street naked until a lady saw him and called the cops. The cops picked him up, brought him back to Dahmer's apartment, and asked him what was going on. Dahmer said that he was a boyfriend who was drunk and that it was just something that, and that he was he lost him or something. So they literally handed this guy back to Jeffrey Dahmer. The authorities actually handed it back to Jeffrey Dahmer, whose apartment building literally smelled
of dead bodies.
Like dead bodies. What's even crazier is that it didn't become a big issue for people because number one, they were ethnic, and number two, they were gay until a white person went missing.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Dahmer becomes this number one suspect, and they actually start investigating what's going on with Dahmer's last victim when he begins to kind of go into that psych.
This is also the reason why a lot of serial killers actually start off, or at least older serial killers, there's been shifts in the kind of circuit. Used to start off with people of color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Used to start off with
prostitutes. People on the margins
of prostitutes. Yeah. And not any prostitutes, usually it was prostitutes of color in particular.
Yeah.
Then working their way up to women, white prostitutes, and then eventually getting caught when they came into someone of privilege.
Yeah. Yep. So like you're less than human. You're less than human because you're ethnic.
Correct.
You're also less than human because you're a prostitute.
Correct.
Right? Because all of a sudden, those things mixed together mean that somehow you don't feel the same things that any other human being does in life. Uh-huh. Or you don't also go through the same exact struggles. And somehow your life is worth less than someone who is a part of kind of a privileged class who you actually, as the system, believe is a part of society.
Yeah, I've seen that shit where they're like, oh, no one's going to miss this person. No one gives a fuck. Like, right. And like TV shows and movies... When like someone goes to like when they start off killing someone,
no one's gonna miss this person. Yeah. Right? And in particular, a lot of serial killers do that. But that implicit bias of society plays a huge role in cases like this as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that no one will miss Nabra. It's the fact that that Nabra, as a person, as a female woman of color who happens to be visibly Muslim, mm-hmm. was killed, and then her death is dismissed as a road rage incident. Worse, you have some individuals going, well, she was part of an altercation, trying to justify.
Yeah.
You also had somebody in the Washington Post fucking questioning her faith.
Right.
Like yeah, she only went there because there was a group activity or some shit.
Right. Like these are
the fuck up.
All of these factors indicate to us very clearly that when it comes to the death of people of color, when it comes to the death of Muslims, when it comes to the death of women, right? All of those factors play a role here. That privilege trumps it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this particular individual happened to be an undocumented. So it's Salvadorian possible
immigrant,
that we're possible we may end up hearing a discourse against undocumented workers as an attempt to divide up the undocumented individuals from the Muslim community, right?
Yeah.
But let's recall the fact that the people who determine what this case is are the police officers.
White bastards.
It's the legal system. And the legal system right now may not even want to deal with a hate crime in their jurisdiction.
Devils.
Yeah.
And so it becomes dismissed. It becomes rationalized.
Yeah, away. Fairfax doesn't want to do that. Right? Fairfax is considered one of the top three richest fucking counties in the country.
This
is why we
have this issue, right? And unless implicit bias is addressed, because we've talked about this before on this podcast, it's how racism is a socialized process. You're socialized into hating people.
Yep.
Right? We talked about how in America in particular, we deal with race by banishing it, not by ever actually addressing the structural issues of racism. Mm-hmm. We simply said being racism is bad. And by being bad, no one wants to be bad, so they banish racism, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, racism exists in a variety of different spectrums. Racism is structural. Racism is also cultural. Structural racism ensures that white cops get away with the shooting of black individuals.
Yes.
That's structural racism. Cultural racism is what allows cops to shoot black people in the first place. What makes people have road rage incidents.
Yeah.
What makes people have parking disputes. What makes people take that gun out because a black person says, hey, I'm carrying.
Yeah.
It's that instant reaction you have where you're not even consciously thinking about it. You're not going, black person, I hate them.
Yeah.
You're going, danger,
Sean,
because they're black.
Yeah.
Danger, they're Muslim. Danger, you see red. And that's the key here.
Sean King
unless posted. We don't address that cultural factor and that structural factor, you're never actually addressing racism.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, what also somehow Tamir Rice's dad's past coming into play when talking about
structural
his
structural racism ensured that the cop didn't lose his job until a couple years later when you find out that he's actually a shitty cop, with temper issues. That cop kept his job. The cultural component of racism is what made the media bring up his dad's priors.
Yeah.
What does his dad's prior record have anything to do with Tamir Rice? Nothing whatsoever.
Yeah.
But the cultural component of him being from a quote-unquote broken family, right, has to fit that narrative.
Of course.
Right? Of an angry Muslim woman, right? Of Philando Castillo as a threat.
Yeah, let's not forget they killed an unarmed, or they killed a woman, a pregnant woman in Seattle. Who called in because her house got burglarized, and when she answered the door with a knife, as any scared woman would do after her house got burglarized, they shot her.
Right. And this is, we should remember that just recently there was almost an identical case in which a woman was swinging around a knife. She happened to be white. What did they do with her?
Tackled her.
They tased her.
Oh.
She's alive and well.
Yeah, same thing. See what I'm saying? Sean King posted a picture of a cop telling this guy to calm down as he's reaching for his gun.
Right. This is what I'm talking about, right? Structural components of racism, cultural components of racism. We are raised in a culture that is taught that certain people with certain skin colors are a particular type of threat. Black people are a threat when it comes to inner cities, right? That they're involved in violence, that they're inherently violent. And we don't even articulate it. White liberal progressives in Oregon don't articulate it, but they still have these racial ideas, mm-hmm. right? It's from cultural representation. It's from media. It's from the way we talk about it. It's from ideas of civilization, that somehow there are these different civilizations that are at war with one another. We're told that immigrants are all particular of a particular skin color, when the reality is that 40% of immigrants come from Asia, not Latin America, mm-hmm. right? We treat it as if they're all among. We treat brown people from the Middle East as a particular type of threat, as sleeper cells that are never fully American, even though Islam has been around since the very foundation of the United States. It's one of the three religions have been there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. As early as Christianity has been here, guess what? Islam has been there as well. But we treat it as foreign. These cultural notions, the sort of cultural logic of racism, is something that we've never tackled, that we never want to address, because it exists on an almost subliminal level, mm-hmm. right? You don't always articulate it clearly. You don't always say it outright. But how many black ex-cons do you see on TV?
Well, all of them.
Yeah.
All ex-cons on TV are almost always black. Very few of them are white.
Yeah.
Right? And that tells you something. That tells you the type of cultural logic that exists on a subliminal level that we still haven't tackled. And as that culture exists, people are going to be afraid. People are going to react violently. So that this guy, who is undocumented, isn't a cop. He's not dealing with structural racism. He's not dealing with any of those components. But he is dealing with a country that just spent an entire presidential election cycle determining whether Muslims were worthy of staying in this country or not.
Yep.
And the end result is a woman walking home, getting beaten bloody, kidnapped and beaten bloody. That is the end result. You talk like that, you end up with actions like that. Road rage? Sure. But that road rage sprang from something else.
Yep.
So I think we should end it there. Mm-hmm. Right?
After we depress the shit out of everybody?
Depress everyone. If you're feeling angry and you're feeling frustrated, good. We're also going to give a quick
tweet at the real Donald Trump.
At the real Donald Trump. He'll take all complaints.
Yeah.
The helpline is open now at real Donald Trump. Go ahead and tweet him. For those of you who are really wanting to look at this conversation further, I highly recommend the Samovar Network, who is actually going to have a panel discussion and interview with members from the Adams Community Mosque. So check that out. You can find them on Facebook at the Samovar Network, Samvor Network. And
Samovar.
That's what I said.
Did you say the O?
Yeah, I said the O.
I thought you said Samvar.
No. So Samovar Network, check them out. They're going to be having a discussion about that. So that's super exciting.
That's Thursday.
That's going to be Thursday. Yep.
Also, if you want to, if you decide that you are really depressed and you want to bash things, my brother is still holding his lightsaber instructional classes for, you know, $50 for a 6-week course.
Very cool.
For anyone who's located in Irvine, you can find more information on it at lightspeed-saber.com. If you do, go ahead and you decide to sign up, you want to sign up for the class, go ahead and put Currently Nerdy into the little description thing, and you'll get entered to win a $70 Ultra Saber lightsaber. If not, come on Sundays to the Great Park in Irvine. Just go and have fun. He has all the gear. He has all the gear for you and everything, so don't feel like you need to bring anything. And then you get to, you know, sit there and hit each other with lightsabers. You know, Han Solo may be gone, but your frustration will definitely still be there after listening to this episode.
Yep.
So go and bash people.
On that note, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy, on Twitter @currentlynerdy, Instagram currentlynerdy, Tumblr currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on YouTube, search Currently Nerdy on there. We're on iTunes, Stitcher,
what was that again?
Google Play.
Currently Nerdy.
Yes, just search Currently Nerdy. Give us a 5-star rating. And give us a review. Maybe we'll read it on air.
Yeah, we will definitely read it on air.
And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Of course. By the way, John Ossoff, I want my $20 back.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my blog at thesandwichslayer.com. Look for my upcoming article on In-N-Out versus Shake Shack. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at alialomi.com. You can find me on our sister podcast, Head On History. Just search Head On History. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI. Diz.
You can find me everywhere. Dizbulla. DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're a piece of shit and attack people of color.